We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 538 of the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dan Hilpin, and if you thought the pressure was already ramping up earlier this week with the two losses, the 1-1 draw with Valencia won't be stopping that anytime soon. 11 goals allowed in their first 13 games, 10 wins and 3 draws. Since then, 10 games, 14 goals allowed, and 4 wins, 2 draws and 4 losses. This is the worst stretch of Xavi's time in charge. Not necessarily even in results, but just the product we're seeing on the field. And his is a name I'll be saying quite a bit in these 5 headlines. Before that, though, just a reminder to subscribe to the channel, give a good rating on the podcast apps, join the Patreon if you want to listen and don't want to hear the ads, or hit the merch store at tbpod.link/store down in the show notes or description below. All right, with that done, let's get into it. The 5 headlines from Barcelona's 1-1 draw with Valencia. Headline 1 is out of the race already. Let's start with the big idea and the big fear I think many Culés have in the Liga. Why go through the second half of a Liga season if you feel like it's already too far gone? Xavi knew that coming into this game, calling it a final. And this is where we kind of talk about the players and Xavi, because I do put some of this onus, especially to start the match at least. 2 minutes in, off the throw-in, a chance for Valencia, and I ask, what the heck, Barcelona, what are you doing? Iñaki Peña with the save, but there were too many players, De Jong, Araujo, Cancelo, all complaining about the possession and that throw-in instead of getting into position to defend. And throughout the game, especially that first half, there are too many players having issues with concentration, with a lack of runs for each other, poor timing, and those are things that go on the manager. When one player does it, you go, oh, that player's out of form. Two or three players, they're out of form. But when you seemingly start a game, game in and game out, we've got 7 or 8 players, and they've conceded the first goal quite a bit this season. When you have a number of players with those mental lapses, more even than the physical, then you start to ask questions of the manager. And you can feel that pressure too, as much as Xavi is using it as an excuse, and I think there is something about it. I'm going to talk about that in a second, but let's go with the negative before we get into kind of the defense of it. Barcelona is tight. Again, you can see for the first minute, they're playing with pressure. All the players, they're dealing with the pressure. Not that their spots are up for grabs. Not that they're going to be taken out of the starting lineup. I mean, maybe Ferran Torres, sure. But instead that they're trying to play through the pressure for the manager. So don't get this twisted. They're still very much playing for Xavi. They're afraid that if they don't give the results that are needed for him to keep his job, then the legend of Barcelona in Xavi is going to be sent packing. And I think you see that pressure with those players, that tightness. It was a really bad week. Losing to Girona, losing to Royal Antwerp, and now a draw against Valencia. And it's almost no excuse against this Valencia side, unlike Girona, who are top of the table, and Royal Antwerp, where, yes, he started a 17-year-old giving his debut, and not just about Hector Fort, but clearly a lot of rotation. How many more times will we see Ora Romeo and Sergio Roberto start at least together this season? Not so sure about that. But Valencia, they had tons of rotation, and they are not a deep team at all, speaking of financial issues. They were without Javi Guerrera and Paulista due to yellow card accumulation. Then there was no Jose Gaya or Andre Almeida due to injury. And I would argue those are 4 of Valencia's top 5 or 6 important players this season. Because big picture-wise, moving over to the standings, Atletico Madrid, fortunately for Barcelona, were worse today than them and Athletic Club. but Barcelona, as of today, are sitting on 35 points, but the other three all have a game left to play. That means that Barca will possibly be 9 points behind Girona by Monday and 7 behind Real Madrid. And that is a lot of points to make up. And going down the table, I know I don't have it here, but Athletic Club is just 3 points behind them now for 5th place. And just to set up the defense of Xavi a little bit, for the forwards, it takes too many chances to score. Against Girona, you saw it. XG of over 4. Girona scored 4, Barcelona scored 2, but it was an XG over 4. Valencia was an 0.53 XG, and that happens. Goals are scored. You watch the game. Valencia got their one chance. But Barcelona, 3.40 XG. And I know XG isn't everything, because it does not explain the quality of the shots, but you saw today there were some opportunities that we're going to talk about. So when it comes to the forwards, it does feel as mental as physical at times. And the question I'll ask about those saying hashtag Xavi out and those being, we'll say, a bit reactive to this result, and I do agree feeling like Liga might be gone. Is it up to Xavi to get those forwards to finish? He set them up with a system that, while having its issues defensively, does create enough chances for his forwards to finish, but they don't. And I think that question is the difference between those who blame Xavi and those who ask more from the players. Of course, the answer is a bit of both. But if you are firmly in the camp that Xavi has to get his players right to finish, and you put the responsibility on him, then after a game like today and a week like this, then you're fed up with Xavi. I'm not ready to say that. Obviously, anyone who listens to me knows that that's not where I'm at with Xavi. But as I said before, if this isn't just the worst form of the season for Barcelona in the last few weeks, but actually who they are this season in the spring, I do wonder if Xavi lasts the summer. But winning La Liga with what he had to work with last year and all the pressure that comes with being the manager of FC Barcelona, few can do that job at all. That's why I tend to go a little easier on the managers. It often feels like they are harder to replace for all the things we don't see and just hear the whispers about more behind the scenes than the on-field stuff that we do with the tactics and whatever. As in, the things that really matter. But unfortunately, that has been the thing with Barcelona forever. Xavi isn't the first. Johan Cruyff, Rinus Michels, Lenio Herrera, Ernesto Valverde, winning doesn't save you from the Sharks in Catalonia. Xavi said this was a final, so I would say this is the first of many finals now in the Liga. There was a lot of noise around the club, and maybe I'm even downplaying the thin ice that Xavi may now find himself, especially if against Almeria, I mean, bottom of the table and all that, but even in January, coming back from the break, if it does feel like Barcelona are already out of the race come March, this pressure is only going to get a lot worse for Xavi and company. Headline 2, where to play Pedri. Let's actually talk about this game. This is still a bigger idea, though. As listeners know, you know how I value Pedri, not only in Xavi's system, but in any system. And while De Jong had highs and lows, I thought, in the game, in the second half definitely had more highs, I still think it's Pedri that makes everything work. And when things aren't working, he's the first that I look at, and I wonder why. But I saw a problem in today's match. You can't play Pedri too high, or you lose any control of the game, and you take Gundogan out of his most natural position. And it didn't matter if Valencia were playing a medium block, a low block, with 4 or 5, it didn't matter. Pedri couldn't play that high forward because it gave up everything in space on the counterattack. And when he does get high, you almost waste him as he waits for passes between the lines that never come, and then he's running back defending anyway. But if you play him deeper, now we're talking especially in build-up at your own half, you allow the opposition to absorb Barcelona's pressure, and you lose all fluidity between the lines, and now you have no one operating between the lines. So at least in the first half, and definitely against Girona, you watch him floating around in no man's land, and then immediately bypass on the counter because Barca's spacing gets out of whack when they push bodies forward. I did think to start the game, there was a plan that remained throughout the entire 90 minutes. It was a good job by De Jong, Pedri, and Gundogan to establish those roles early in possession. I understand those were the instructions, but Gundogan higher on the right, Pedri remaining closer to De Jong, and looking for Gundogan as the third man, with Pedri kind of operating off of De Jong in the space right in front of him. And this did lead to some good horizontal switches, which is what you have to do against Valencia, who are going to throw that second man out to the corners of their block, or you say the wings. In the 7th minute, it was a good switch from Pedri. Barca are better when he's playing deeper. You do see that. And I know that it's risky because you feel like he's better when he's playing off the field. But Barcelona as a whole play better when he's deeper, at least in rest defense and keeping their offensive shape. But it does mean that one less player is also coming into the attack from the middle, allowing Valencia to protect the corners of that block with additional numbers, especially when Barca don't usually have many runs in behind and in those half spaces. The positive news was that De Jong, Pedri, Gundogan, they all delivered some long switches in this game that were helpful to trying to spread out Valencia and keep Barcelona in possession. Pedri was definitely feeling himself on the day too, with that through ball to Lewandowski, couldn't get out of his feet, and that was a bit of a theme today.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Headline 3 is on different pages. Moving to the 13th minute, Lewandowski was actually fouled in the back, and he's also not getting calls. Both things are true. Where that was a foul, yes, but Lewandowski's also been going down rather easily in the last month, I think, just trying to create anything and make something happen. He's devoid of confidence. All the forwards are in different ways. Barca continue to be weak in transition, though, and that is just as worrying, or maybe a little less worrying than the forwards, but just as worrying. There still seems to be confusion. It's another point where I look at Xavi about. There still seems to be confusion with their high line and their offside trap. This is a much better game from Koundé than the last 3 weeks since he came back from injury, but I thought Araujo hasn't been great this week. I know that he's this untouchable force, of course. We know what he can do. I've said what he can do. I love Araujo. We know physically what he's capable of. But there has been something off about him the last 2 weeks. The broken jaw can't help at all. And for people who've seen or maybe heard something through the years, I've got some issues with my, we'll say, neck up region between my mouth and my nose. And when I'm playing around and if it's too hot of a day or the air is just a bit thin, I struggle. I struggle to breathe and I can't hit my full speed. I feel lesser than physically. When things aren't working, we'll say above my neck, if I have a head cold or anything like that, because it gets exasperated with the physical issues that I have with my nose and my mouth. But for Araujo, as I said, the broken jaw, I think that's having an effect. But even that, his initial positioning, the things between the ears, his initial positioning has been an issue to me. And I don't know if he's just overcompensating for not feeling, we'll say, a full lung. He's shutting things down and defending like we know he does. The effort is there. I'm not questioning that. There are a number of plays where I wonder if he's not being enough of a vocal leader back there prior to that long ball coming at him. The same with Koundé or Iñaki Peña, though. Is Barca's back line without a voice at the moment? Christensen isn't that guy either, and Íñigo Martínez probably didn't come in immediately to be that guy in a locker room where everyone was already established back there. But Barcelona's defense looked much better with Íñigo Martínez in there, even though I would firmly argue, as we know, on their best days, Koundé, Araujo, and Christensen might be better defenders, though I would argue that Íñigo Martínez might be a better pound-for-pound defender, at least than Koundé is this year. 18th minute, moving along in this game, Rafinha had a nice diagonal too, but the counter was slow to transpire. That was a theme in the first half. There were some offsides in the middle of the first half as the game got a little tighter. That's where it kind of became tough to watch, those 15-20 minutes or so. Barcelona playing that high line, and Valencia adjusting to Gundogan playing a bit higher. Rafinha in that first half too, with absolutely no Barca player around him to play off of, really frustrating on behalf of Rafinha. Everyone was trying to stay near Lewandowski to give him support, and he got a good enough chance when Araujo pushed forward. Gundogan putting a nice ball in for him, just doesn't work. Then Pedri, just a bit high with a shot in the 34th, and I wondered at that moment, was that the first involvement of João Félix in the match? he and Balde do not work together at all. You can see with your eyes that either Balde Torres or Cancelo Felix have been much better combinations on the left, and it hasn't worked when Xavi has overlapped them and just hasn't worked. 35th minute, Lewandowski gets a chance. Cancelo delivers another diagonal ball. Again, good on Barcelona in the first half with those diagonal balls. Lewandowski takes two touches, does quite a bit to set himself up, but didn't get any power on it, just chipping into the goalkeeper. Tony from Siempre Positivo had the stat here. Barca is the team in the five major European leagues that generates the most big chances with 64. Barcelona is in 76th in conversion rate. And for all the criticism I just gave to Xavi, setting all this up about taking the pressure off his team, again, his ability to get his team to take that breath and finish these chances, maybe it's the only criticism that Xavi deserves in the last month, other than the defensive transition stuff that I also was talking about. But that's what Xavi's talking about, that Barcelona are getting chances, they're creating chances, and they're not finishing them. Headline 4, breakthrough at the corner. Come the second half, Barcelona were good. Again, Xavi seems like he gets his halftime speeches pretty on point. I think this team is still fighting for him. 52nd minute, lots of yellow shirts wearing together on the counter the way it should be. Cancelo goes wide, and Rafinha makes the inside run. De Jong gives to the wide-open Cancelo, and the cutback to Gundogan isn't on target. But at that point, it was something in a game with nothing up until that point, and it was some bright signs. 55th minute, it did feel like a bit of foreshadowing, because there the goal comes. João Félix gets the goal. Recently thought it was offside, and I think so did he. But finally, Rafinha gets around the corner of that back line, and De Jong pops it over the top. João Félix there to finish at the back post. Well-worked goal from Barcelona. It was more good from Barca than bad defending from Valencia, because it was great timing from Rafinha and a perfect ball from De Jong was needed to create the FIFA goal, and it comes. And there was lots of confidence after the goal from Barcelona, which was nice to see. Valencia were looking ready to concede another, and that's when you press together and put the pressure on. But Barca is really easy to get through, and João Félix fouled Hugo Duro with a really ugly tackle that probably deserved a yellow, and that press from Barca has really let me down this season. I thought it was way better with Xavi. The numbers say that it was way better with Xavi last year. And without Gabi, I mean, yes, Gabi got hurt a few weeks ago, but Gabi was the only player that generally was healthy for most of this season. And at this point, with that press, it's without Gabi, almost a case of why bother? 65th minute, things don't really go Barca's way. Gundogan was brought down by Fran Perez. Yellow to red, probably a red, but only a yellow. Then the 67th minute, Araujo over the top to Rafinha again. Good long ball from Araujo. And Rafinha shoots after the ball was definitely out of bounds. Doesn't come to anything, but more chances for Barcelona. They needed a second, but it never came. Because headline 5 is settling again. 1-1, 70th minute, Hugo Guillamón doesn't ever really shoot. That's not in the scouting report, but he had way too much time and space for any La Liga player, regardless of position. And what this midfield from Barcelona gives up, you saw it. Pedri was pressing, and when Pedri presses, Barcelona tend to get out of sorts. It was way too much time and space on the ball for Guillamón as he was surrounded by yellow shirts, but nobody really marking him, but also a ton of players in the area. And Barcelona just aren't that good defensively from game to game. That goal was scored when Barcelona were playing their best in the match. It did come against the run of play. It was also a good finish by Guillamón. Don't want to take anything away, but that ball should have been cleared three times before Guillamón put his boot behind it. 72nd minute, Ferran Torres on for João Félix and immediately gets in behind for a shot at Mamardashvili. Then De Jong, yellow card suspension, got the yellow in the 77th minute, suspended for Almeria. He was seeing red, so it's not like he purposely got suspended for Almeria, but if you're going to take one, take it against Almeria. But clearly this is not with him having Almeria in mind for this. He had his boot stepped on and slammed the cleat to the ground because he had to readjust it. So obviously earning the yellow, he will miss Almeria, which at the form that Barcelona is in, I would say that game was more important to get 3 points than whenever's coming up in January. You worry about that later. But De Jong will be missing Almeria on Wednesday.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
81st minute. Lamine Yamal on for Gundogan as Valencia made the rest of their changes. So Rafinha basically playing as that high 10, knowing that Valencia were going to be in a low block. So basically occupying the same spot of the field that Gundogan did. And Valencia now switching to a narrow 5-4-1, defending for the draw and wanting the goal from a counter. 82nd minute, Mamardashvili, a 1v1 save against Rafinha on the counter. And Yerick got the second save at the post, the academy player for Valencia. Rafinha, the credit to him, it's another well-timed run and a terrific through ball from Ferran Torres tucking in. I didn't see anybody mention that Ferran Torres had a ball that should have been an assist, that João Félix did not play in his time on the field, but Rafinha could not finish. He did everything else right. 85th minute, patience from Barcelona, which was good. A curling run from Ferran Torres and Pedri plays him through, but the ball had too much pace and Torres couldn't get enough power on it to trouble Mamardashvili. So another save for Valencia. Then the 90th minute, Rafinha puts a free kick right into the hands of the goalkeeper. At the start of the five headlines, I mentioned it's been 14 goals allowed in 10 matches after 11 goals allowed in 13. Well, I think even more significantly, Barca had 30 goals in their first 13 games, which is skewed somewhat by the 2-5-0s, but just 13 in 10 games since then. More blocks coming from Valencia because it seems like every team that Barcelona plays is really disciplined and good at blocking shots in a way that Barcelona do not. The late penalty shot that ended with Rafinha's late pass wide, Pepe Lu bringing down Araujo in the box, but we see it over and over and over. No penalty on the contact like that in stoppage time. Why did no one make that run to the back post? I'll never know. But I think the larger issue for me, again, no chemistry between Cancelo and Lamine Yamal. That has been a huge issue, and I think why neither made that run to the back post. Pretty incredible stat I'll leave you with from Mr. Chip here. Barcelona has gone 17 consecutive games without winning more than one goal. That's since the 5-0 against Antwerp, which is now more than 3 months ago, for just the second time. 17 consecutive games without scoring more than one goal. Second time in the entire history, 124 years of the club. Between October of 1962 and February of 1963, in that period where Barcelona were just coming off being really good and were not so good, at that time it reached 18. A record that Barcelona could hit if they wind up not putting Almeria to the sword by more than one goal. Which at this point, I don't care about that. Get the record, just beat Almeria. Goodness gracious. There is no podcast coming in the next few days. Instead, it will be Wednesday. I'll be with you for the five headlines, but I do plan on having one more podcast after that before I get my little break in those few days there. So in case you don't miss it, I also have some fun stuff coming out on the YouTube channel in the coming weeks, likely actually over the holiday period. So a few quick, short, little fun videos for you. So subscribe to the channel so you don't miss that. And I will not be putting them on the podcast feed because they're much smaller content. So you will have to see them on the video stuff, but also be posting them on social media likely. But again, if you don't want to miss them, just follow me wherever you can on social media and all that stuff. And as always, until next time, Forza Barca.